So you still had to be chicken wrangling a bit and slug wrangling. You weren't able to just go in the house and watch video games or something. You were
Yeah.
Was it fun having them over visiting?
Oh, it was very fun.
What was your favorite part?
I think my favorite part was cuddling with the chickens.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to my podcast, Helping Gardeners Grow. I'm your host, Donna Balzer, and I'm also a radio commentator, a horticulturist, an author, and of course, an avid gardener. For three seasons, I was the co-host on Bugs and Blooms on HGTV, and that was aired internationally. Well, personally, I have been pondering chickens for years, and I was so excited that there were options to owning your own baby chickens. And this podcast was meant to introduce you to the originator of hooligan hens. But Ariel got too busy. So instead, I'm focused today on speaking to one of the lucky homeowners who borrowed Ariel's hens for a day. Carolyn Sweet and her daughters, Bronwyn and Marion, will tell us their version of why it is so great to have borrowed chickens in your garden. It's a fun and unusual look at chickens without the burdens of ownership. Later in the show, right at the end actually, we have a call. We actually had a message from Allison, and she was asking about fertilizer. She had listened to the Ferticare show from last fall and was really interested how she could start using fertilizer in her home garden. So we touch on that at the very end. Wait for her question. If you love getting free gardening tips, remember, go to my website, donnabalzer.com, and subscribe to this podcast, Helping Gardeners Grow. When you subscribe, every episode is sent to you. And if you want to help me help you, the best thing you can do is rate the show, post a review, and share the episodes with your friends. Okay, I'll pop back in later to say goodbye at the end. But for now, let's jump right in and talk to Carolyn Sweet and her daughters, Bronwyn and Marion, and their experience with renting chickens, the good and the bad. Hi, I'm meeting today with Carolyn Sweet. Carolyn was one of the lucky homeowners that had the hooligan hens visit her garden. So good day, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Donna?
I'm great.
Great.
Great. Now tell me about your gardening expertise. What kind of a gardener are you?
I'm a very random gardener trying to be more organized.
Okay. Do you have a vegetable garden?
I have vegetables and I have flowers, perennials and annuals. We do have a fruit tree, and this is the year, I guess, that we've planted the most veggies, had more veggies this year than any year in the past 20.
Wow. Is that COVID related?
Yes.
So you would describe yourself as what, a beginning, middle, advanced gardener? What are you thinking?
Middle-aged, middle-advanced, middle gardener.
So you've gardened before, but you've added lots of vegetables this year.
We've been working at it for about 20 years.
Wow.
And we've been in two different houses in that time. So this is our 10th year with the garden that we have currently.
Wow.
Yeah, and we've been working on losing the lawn and having a real variety of flowers and vegetables and lots of things out there for pollinators and lots of good stuff going on. So,
okay. And do you have a big sunny backyard, or is it overhung with trees?
It's where the veggies are planted. It's quite sunny. Yeah. They get a lot of light. Our backyard is east facing. So lots of light earlier in the day, and one spot gets hot, hot, hot. So that's where I put actually sunflowers usually. So what comes up there. Yeah.
Nice. So you have lots of flowers, lots of vegetables.
You bet. Lots of slugs.
Lots of slugs.
Lots of slugs.
What did you know about chickens before you had Ariel come over with her hooligan hens?
I knew that we loved chickens because my kids and I used to, when they were small, there's a hobby farm 10 minutes away from our house. So we used to often visit the chickens, and the girls liked reaching into their laying boxes to collect the eggs. And so, you know, we were comfortable around them and knew that we really liked being around them. I didn't know that they ate garden pests, though.
Okay. Is it so what in the end triggered you to invite Ariel to come over? What made you think, that sounds like my garden. We better try that.
Well, she said that they ate slugs, which was very appealing because this summer has been particularly challenging for slugs. I don't think just for us. I think lots of gardeners are finding that they're having more than usual because I guess the wet weather in July probably was a big part of that. But we were just looking forward to having somebody else deal with it because we're tired of picking at them.
So before that, how were you dealing with slugs? Were you just hand-picking them?
Hand-picking. And actually, I offered my kids 10 cents a slug early in the summer, and a neighbor matched that. So they were going out there regularly for a couple weeks, but honestly, they kind of lost interest in it after a couple weeks. It lost its novelty. And so the chickens picked up where they left off.
So how did you do that? You decided to get a little bit of chicken help. You called Ariel and she came over?
Yeah, we are both members of the same Calgary Gardeners group on Facebook.
Okay.
She put a post saying that she was thinking about maybe pursuing the hooligan hens concept. And I think I was one of the first person to jump on it and say, yes, come to our yarn because of our mutual, like we love chickens, my family and I, but also we had the slugs that she was addressing. So we thought we would be great candidates.
So how did it work? What happened there? You phoned her or contacted her? She came over. How many chickens did she bring?
Yeah, the first time that she came around noon on a Sunday, and it was actually like 30 degrees. It was really, really hot when she came. So I was a little curious as to how that would work with the slugs, seeing as at that time of day, they're pretty deep in the soil and finding some cool spots to hang out. But she arrived with them. The first day that she came, she brought 7. And she brought 6 silkies, which are white Jurassic Park looking things. Punk rock kind of hairdos. Silky and smooth bodies, right? With long feathers. They look more like a Muppet than a farm chicken. So she had 6 of those. And then one of the chickens, I think they're called Orpingtons, which are the ones that I'm more familiar with, the orange, regular looking chicken. And so she let them out in our backyard after making sure that it was a safe environment for them. And they started pecking away at the bugs that they were finding.
Wow. And so they knew their work. They went right to work right away.
Well, no. They were picking away at the insects that they could find, right? That there were some ants crawling around and I don't know what else was out there, but that was their very first day on the job and we were their first client. So at first we were turning over stones and bricks and hand feeding them the slugs and sort of saying, yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum,
and convincing them that the slugs were good food. So it took a teensy bit of convincing, but then once they got onto it, they were like, all right, yeah, these aren't bad. More.
Did they start turning their own rocks over then?
They don't turn rocks over, no. But they were pecking along the edges of the cooler areas and under our apple tree, there are this mulch and calendula and poppies growing and hosta. And I think that they could find enough kind of hiding in and around the mulch. But the turning of planks of wood and rocks and bricks, that's up to the chicken helpers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you see any damage to any of your plants?
No, I didn't see any damage to any of the plants.
So they weren't
not true.
Your hosta.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They were pecking at the chickweed. They loved the chickweed, which I was like, have at her, eat as much as you want. So they did. They seemed to really, maybe that's why they call it chickweed. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. When I've seen chickens at my son's house, they're always going for the chickweed. And his 3-year-old son showed me, he said, Grandma,
This is chickweed.
This is chickweed. This is what they like. Well, that explains it, right? Yeah. So they went for the chickweed, which is totally fine with me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, do you think your daughters would want to share something? Do they have something to share? I think Bronwyn and Marion were there.
Yeah, they would be happy. They would be happy to share something about that. Who would you like to speak to? Can we?
Let's start with Bronwyn. Hi, Bronwyn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks. And what did you think of this whole chicken experiment your mom was trying?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. What did you like about the chickens?
I think I like they're really cuddly and. It's not my favorite job picking up slugs, so yeah.
So they gave you some help there.
Yeah, and it's really like calming to have them around.
Oh, I didn't think of that. So you found the chickens being there was calm. Do you have a pet other than chickens? Do you have a cat or a dog?
Yeah, we have a dog and some other like smaller pets, like I have a gecko.
Okay, but the chickens were different?
Yeah, it's like sort of like a new experience because... Maybe you can get like a house pet, but chickens don't really fall into that category.
Did you find them following you around in the garden, or how did they respond to you?
I think they tolerated me. A lot of them just wanted to go get the slugs.
Okay. Did you have to show them what the slugs look like?
It depends. The orange one, pumpkin, was really, really good at finding slugs, but the other ones we had to pick them up and show them, and they would eat them out of our hands.
Oh, so you still had to be chicken wrangling a bit and slug wrangling. You weren't able to just go in the house and watch video games or something. You were involved.
Yeah.
Was it fun having them over visiting?
Oh, it was very fun.
What was your favorite part?
I think my favorite part was cuddling with the chickens.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, maybe I should talk to your older, or do you have anything else you want to tell me about them before we go, or?
Oh, not really, but I also forgot to add that one of my favorite parts about them is their noises, because I think they make really cute little bawks.
Cute little, how does that sound?
I don't really know. It sounds just sort of like, sometimes they warble and I can't really make the sound, but it sounds awesome.
Okay, so that was a surprising thing about chickens, that they make sounds.
Oh, yeah. I knew that they like clucked and stuff, but I didn't think it was like that advanced.
Oh, so they really communicate between themselves, or are they trying to communicate with you, do you think?
I'm not really sure. I think they're just like sort of expressing themselves. I don't think they really like have someone that they're like meaning it to.
Oh, fun. All right. Well, let's see what Marion has to say. Thanks so much, Bronwyn.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you, Marion?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What was your first experience like with chickens? Did you like that?
Yeah, it was really fun. It was awesome to have them around because it was like having a petting zoo in our yard.
What did you say when your mom first said, I think I'm going to get chickens for slugs? What did you say to that?
Well, it was more like she told us like the day that they were coming and we were like, what? We're getting chickens coming to our yard? Like, that's sort of crazy.
Yeah. And what did you expect from them when they came to the yard? What did you think they were going to do?
I don't really know. I expected a lot less chickens than I expected them to, I don't know, just like mull around or whatever, doing chicken things.
Yeah. Did you think they would just huddle together and sleep or something? Or did you know they'd get right to work?
I don't know. I mean, I thought they would be pretty like, they would move around, but they would be sort of like, you know, they wouldn't be like running in circles or anything.
And so how did they move through the garden?
Well, it was sort of like they move in sort of like a pack, like, if one chicken decides to go one place, then the others will decide to follow it. And then so they sort of just like move through different areas, but they prefer like being in the shade than being in direct sunlight. Because the first time we had them, it was so hot out.
Okay. And do you think you'd ever like to get full-time chickens yourself? Do you think that would be fun?
Well, actually, after we had them first time, my parents were considering it because they were like, it was so fun having them. And it's really sad that we can't really get them in Calgary, but if the bylaw ever got changed, then we would probably get some.
Yeah, because it was quite fun.
Yeah, it was so fun.
What was your favorite part of the chickens?
Well, it was fun picking them up. My favorite chicken, I really liked the orange one. Like, the others were nice, but the orange one was so cute.
Were they fully grown chickens?
Yes. The orange one was bigger than the other ones, though.
Did you find he was bossy? Was he pushing the other chickens around or leading the way?
Yeah, actually, I think they were sort of following him, like
him or her or whatever. He was sort of the leader of the pack of chickens.
Oh, that's cute. Do you want to tell me anything else about the chickens? Anything else that happened that day?
I got to draw them.
You got to draw them?
Which is a cool experience because you usually don't get to draw like chickens that are like live there.
Right. Well, you'll have to take a picture of your drawing and send it to me. That would be fun. So what do you think? Would every garden benefit from chickens, do you think? Or were they sticking to your vegetables and sticking to the shade?
I mean, I think there are definitely less slugs in the areas that they visited after they visited, but I would just get them because they're so fun to have around.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hey, your daughters are incredible. That was so sweet. Oh, so great. They really liked the chickens just as chickens. So tell me about one of the side benefits of the chickens. What's one of the things that happened when you had them over?
We invited my parents over to visit with the chickens when they were here. And my mom especially loved chickens. Like, she grew up on a farm. They were one of her favorite animals on the farm. And she really spent a lot of time around chickens when she was a child. So she found the opportunity to hold them in her lap and just pet their soft feathers. You know, she really found it very reminiscent of her childhood and very heartwarming. And it was sweet to see her coo to the chicken while the chicken warbled back to her. It was very nice.
That's what Bronwyn said. They had a lot of different little sounds they were making. They seemed to be communicating.
They're very expressive.
Wow. Yes. Who knew?
I did not know. And I did not know either that they will relax if they're comfortable with you and stretch their necks out. Like, they're quite long, you know, 4 inches long, maybe, like lay them over the side of your lap. Aww. Like a limp noodle, and close their eyes and sort of lay down on you. Aww. Which is, I was kind of shocked when it was happening, going like, is it? Because this, is it still, you know, it's fine, right? This isn't the heat. Because it was almost like so, passed out on my lap. And she said, no, it just feels good with you and is happy with you and feels comfortable. And that's what they do. They just relax when they're held. So
wow,
it was very nice too.
So you felt like you really learned something more about chickens, not just about slugs.
Oh, yeah, I know enough about slugs. It was the chickens that more interested in. You know, I think it is a great opportunity for, you know, families in urban settings to reconnect back to, you know, a livestock animal that we use on a regular basis, many of us, unless you're vegan, you know, I suppose, but many of us eat eggs and many of us eat chickens. And it is very, I think it's good to be educated about where our food's coming from and what these animals are like in their sort of day-to-day, you know, even what they eat. I didn't know that they were insectivores or that was part of what they would consider eating. So it's a good connection to make.
Wow, that sounds really great. Now, you're a school teacher as well, did you say?
I am, yes.
Mm-hmm. What grade do you teach?
Elementary school. I'm an elementary specialist, so...
Do you think chickens are something they should have in the classroom?
Oh, wow. It would be amazing. I think that would be a challenge with all of the rules around having animals in classrooms.
Right.
Even just pets, because there's such a variety of allergies, I think, mainly is the problem with that one. But I think it would be amazing if you could. Or even have them visit outside. It would be a great experience for a lot of kids, for sure. Yeah.
I understand in Calgary they're trying to change the bylaw so that chickens are considered pets. Do you think chickens would make good pets?
I've heard that they make great pets. This is from my mom again, the one who loves the chickens. I think they would make great pets. I think if you kept them in small enough numbers, you know, that the environment could sort of disperse any sort of fertilizer that they left around enough. I think that they'd be great to have around.
So I've asked Carolyn if there was anything in particular that the chickens tried to damage in her garden.
Left the peas completely alone, which shocked me. when they were here the first time, there were lots of like plump, perfect peas hanging on the plants. They didn't even seem to be interested in them at all. So I'm not sure what they're drawn to in the garden, but she's there to make sure that they don't eat things they're not supposed to. There was one tomato, one red tomato that they were really, at one point, they all kind of, what Marianne said about how they move in groups, and when one finds something interesting, they all seem to find it interesting. And so there was one tomato on a plant that was in a pot sort of near our deck that all of a sudden they all kind of like, you know, went for. And I just put my hand out and said no. And they lost interest one by one. And then they didn't remember and come back to it or anything like that. But she is there to make sure that they don't, or try to make sure that they don't damage the things that you're growing for your family to eat.
Is this an expensive venture? Like, do you have to pay for her time and the chickens? Or is it a kind of a volunteer thing for her?
She is, in my opinion, like, we were part of the pilot project. So this for us wasn't as much a consideration, the cost of it, but she is charging a very reasonable amount for their visit, $35 for between an hour and 2 hour visit. And she brought 10 chickens with her the second time they came. So if you consider that even just as an experience, if you were thinking of it as an experience for a family or for your kids, it's, I think, a very reasonable rate to charge. And she said subsequent visits, she's charging $25. So yeah, it to me, it's a little bit unbelievable that she is charging so little for the service, which again, my family is as focused on the experience of being able to hold them and just observe them. Like my daughter was saying, she sat and sketched them, like made a bunch of gesture drawings of the chickens while they pecked around her, or just, yeah, hearing them and holding them. And, you know, for me, I was thinking that that's pretty worth it. Like that's a reasonable rate. So.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. Well, just loading them up and the time that would be involved. And
she lives an hour and a half away as well.
What?
Yes. Oh. And she's keeping the chickens at Grow Calgary in the city. So she has to come in from where she lives and pick them up and then drive to wherever in the city the yard is. Like it seems she actually said that she's just really trying to cover the cost of the hobby of having the chickens. She's not really looking at it as a money-making venture, but for the homeowner, that's kind of an incredible deal, because they really did impact the slug population. You know, for the few days after they visited, we just kind of took that time off of worrying about it.
And so was there any long-term effect? Do you still notice some effect of the visit?
I think that's hard to say. I mean, a lot of the slugs that I'm picking, like yesterday I was out, it was cool enough that they were already crawling at 4:30 in the afternoon. And a lot of them were smaller slugs, which I would think, you know, they were more recently hatched than when the chickens were here. So I don't know long term, like I don't think that could ever be the only solution. I think you would have to do it in tandem with with picking the slugs. Or I don't know, do you recommend putting beer out for them? Because I've heard that draws them from kilometers away.
Yeah. And you know what else? I find that they're pretty wily, especially the big ones can swim right out. So you have to have a pretty deep dish.
A deep dish buried? Is that?
Yeah, mostly buried, because if you just have a shallow little tray, like a lot of people will suggest just using a liner from a, you know, plant tray.
Right.
But it's not very thick and the big slugs can get in and have a drink and get out again and be
tipsy.
Gone.
Yeah. Go stumbling out. stumbling out of the dish and back into the garden, rabble rousing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it hasn't really worked for me. I included that in my little book, Noga Vegetable Gardening. We have a little picture of a tipsy slug, because you can catch a few, obviously, and people that have thousands are catching some. But I've found that they can get in and out. So unless you can put a container that's quite deep and kind of bury it in. And
which then, also takes a lot of beer, though.
And then that takes more beer, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's its own expense.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So the slugs continue to be a problem. I guess I'm just wondering now, is there any particular, like who would benefit most from a chicken visit? Would it just be a vegetable gardener, or would a mixed garden, just flower gardens, benefit as well?
I'm wondering if the slugs are as much of a problem in the flower gardens, like if they prefer them in the, what's I've that?
People's hostas have been shredded by slugs, so I have seen that.
They don't touch my hostas. That's what I have never understood. I have 4 different varieties, and I've never had a slug hole. I've had hail damage, never slug damage. Wow. And they'll strip like baby sunflowers that are standing right next to it. They'll strip down to nothing. I'll see them on there and leave the hostas alone. So I don't know if it's just my hostas, but I think between the vegetables and the flowers, I mean, I've mainly experienced the damage on my vegetables. So I feel like it would be great for vegetable gardeners, but
what's your first worst hit vegetable? What do the slugs seem to bother the most in your yard?
Well, the lettuce. They loved the lettuce, but they, you know what they were eating yesterday is the squash blossoms.
Ah.
Which
frustrating.
Is super frustrating, but they're not the only thing out there chomping. I've had like the cutworm severed an entire pumpkin plant that had probably, you know, 8 big leaves on it and was just ready to come out with flowers, and it chopped it right off and left it sitting on the soil. And I've had voles out there they cut every single bean plant. Every single one. I lost all of my bean plants, cut them all off, you know, 3 or 4 inches from the soil.
And is your garden in a raised bed area? Are you doing raised beds? Or are you?
No.
No?
Okay. All in the ground.
Okay. I wonder, because sometimes those wooden edged beds can be quite little hostels for slugs as well. So I wondered if yours was.
We back onto a big city sports field.
Okay.
And schoolyards. So I have a feeling no matter how much trapping we ever did, there'd always be more voles, more mice, right, coming from the field, because there's tons of habitat right near us. And we have a chain link fence onto all that fielded area. So I think it's just the nature of where we're living, but it is a pain.
Do you have any other last words that you can tell me about chickens or your experience with them? Anything that was really happening that day?
You know, I think that if you are a frustrated gardener, tired of picking the slugs yourself or making trips to the liquor store to buy beer for the slugs, consider getting the chickens out to your house a few times, and you might be pleasantly surprised, not just by the impact it has on the pest population in your garden, but the impact that it has on you and your positive feelings about these birds, because they're pretty special creatures.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thank you, Donna.
All right. Bye for now.
Hey, wasn't that fantastic? I really loved listening to the many benefits of chickens in the home garden. And secretly, I've been thinking of getting retired chickens. I guess I'm not talking about truly retired chickens. I'm talking about taking some out of retirement, ones that are no longer laying, making a little respite for them here in my garden. Wouldn't that be fun? Because I find I'm not eating as many eggs, but I sure would love to have some chickens in my backyard. Well, the gardening gold this week is chickens can be more than slug-eating machines. It looked like all of Carolyn's family enjoyed having the chickens in their garden. And now, all we need to do is get some changes to bylaws in some of the bigger cities so that we're all allowed to have chickens in our backyard. I have to say that just since we've taped this episode, I've discovered a fellow renting out ducks on Vancouver Island for pest control and someone else renting out their goats for weed control. So it seems this is becoming quite a common topic. In fact, it's such a fun topic that I've decided to talk to Cam about his slugs and bugs business, because he rents out ducks. And apparently ducks are quite a bit better at eating bugs than even chickens. So next time we'll be learning more about ducks. And if you'd like to either rent out your animals or find some for rent, just do a quick Google search and you'll find them. And now we've got a question from Allison. She sent us in a voicemail memo, and we've got it here now for you to hear. Her question is about fertilizer. She said she's been really uncomfortable using fertilizer on her vegetable garden. So let's hear what Allison has to say.
Hi, Donna. My name is Allison, and I was just wanting to ask you, I've had the same vegetable garden for about 20 years. It never is that productive, but we do things like add compost, and we've done steer manure, we've done horse manure, lots of different things over the years. And I put some straw into it last fall, which really helped with the conditioning of the soil. So it was really nice and fluffy when I went to seed it this year. So that part's good. But I've always been a little hesitant to put fertilizer on my vegetables. I always, other than the tomatoes, because everyone says tomatoes are heavy feeders, they need fertilizer. But I didn't fertilize the other vegetables because I just thought that the soil should be providing what they need. So I did listen to your podcast where you had Chris talking about the Ferticare fertilizers, and I'm very interested to know a bit more about if I should be putting those on the vegetables and why. If it's do I need them if I think that my soil has already improved? My soil is high in pH. I live in Okotoks, south of Calgary. So anyway, just a question about fertilizers for you. Thanks very much for all your wealth of information and knowledge that you share with us, Donna. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for that great question, Allison. Yes, I think you sound like a candidate for fertilizer. Now, let's back up a bit. You're living in the Okotoks area. You're in an area with a very high pH in the soil. Now, if you're a new gardener and you're not sure how pH affects nutrition, what it does is it ties up or binds up some of the minerals that are sitting there on the soil ready to act, but they can't because of the high pH. So yes, Allison, I think you're definitely a candidate to add some fertilizer. If your garden has not been productive, it could be that in the past, either the fertilizers or the manures that you've been adding just haven't had the right mineral content, or it's because of your high pH and they haven't been available to the plants. If you've had problems or sort of terrified to try something in the past, it might be because you're worried about adding too much nitrogen. And in fact, most of the fertilizers that we do normally use are numbers like 20, 20, 20. Well, those are just too high in nitrogen and they cause so much lush growth. So maybe that's why you've been hesitant. So I think if you want to give it a try, try it this spring with some Ferticare, maybe the Kickstarter, and later as the plants, if they seem to need a bit more care, a little bit more nitrogen, then you can use the Vitality product, finally followed by the Bloomin' Fruit. So it's a little more complicated, but I think it'll be easier for you, Allison. You can actually mix them with water and spray them on the leaves of the plants. So I really like that, especially when you've got a soil problem, especially when you've got a high pH. So if you haven't tried fertilizers yet, give it a try this spring. Buy one of the ones that you can just put on first thing in the spring. The Ferticare Kickstarter gets you going with all of the elements that you need to just grow the plants. You just basically mist it on. Later on, you could try the Vitality, which is 18-18-18, so that's more of a balanced fertilizer. And the reason it's so different from the typical, say, big box store fertilizers is that it also has kelp. And I think you'll remember Chris told us that kelp actually makes the fertilizer work better. But the real secret, I think, behind these new fertilizers is that they've got micronutrients. So when you check the fine print on fertilizers, always look for a fertilizer with micronutrients. Sometimes the plants are missing zinc, or they're missing, say, cobalt or some strange little element that will only be available when you've got the extra micronutrients right there. So you want a fertilizer with micronutrients and with kelp. Later in the season, when we get into July or into even early August, you might find that it's more beneficial to you to add something like the Bloomin' Fruit with the high, middle, and last number and less nitrogen. So you're not trying to push the growth at that point. You're just trying to get the flowers or the fruits to really size up. So that's my advice for you. Start with these fertilizers that will be sprayed directly on the leaves of the plants so that the fertilizer won't get tied up in the soil, so it won't be bound up by what's happening in the soil. It'll just go right on the plants, it'll go right through the stomata, it'll go right to work. So I tried them last year and I was shocked how quickly, with spraying the fertilizers directly on the leaves, I was able to transform sort of a dying tomato plant late in the season to something really healthy and really strong. So don't be confused. You've fixed up the soil texture. You've done that with all of the many additions that you've made, but you haven't mineralized your soil yet because of that bothersome pH. So let's add the fertilizer directly to the leaves so that the plants can take advantage of that. Big thanks go out this week to Brennan Anderson, who is the musician who both wrote and recorded all of the music you hear on this show. Brennan is from Smithers, BC, and guess what? He's my son. Yes, it's an all-in-the-family show. If you appreciate this show, and the best thing you can do for me is to rate the show on Apple iTunes or wherever you're listening. Also, share it with a friend and even think about subscribing, because these little things really help me grow. And if you want to participate in the show like Allison did, ask me a question by sending me a voice memo. So you can do that right on your phone. You can send it to askdonna@donnabalzer.com. That's askdonna@donnabalzer.com. Until next time, thanks so much for joining me today. Helping gardeners grow. Good for the soil and good for the soul.